Welcome to the bonus episode of the Good Glow podcast, brought to you with thanks to Boyne Valley Honey. Boyne Valley Honey is the official breakfast partner of Pieta's Darkness Into Light 2026, proudly supported by Electric Ireland. Why not take part in the Darkness Into Light walk this weekend on May 9th at 4:15 a.m. at a location near you? This is a really powerful moment of connection and support. I'll be there at the Phoenix Park. I can't wait to feel the collective energy of doing something so important and special as communities come together to raise funds to support suicide and self-harm prevention. There's more info on darknessintolight.ie. I'll leave this link in the show notes. And don't forget to pick up a promotional pack of Boyne Valley Honey in stores nationwide with 25 cents going to Pieta, because even if you can't make the event this weekend, you can still support such an important cause. So welcome to the bonus episode. Jamie's feeling a little bit under the weather. He's sitting there. Actually, speaking of honey, you have honey in hot water with ginger, is it?
This is my, so as you can hear, I'm sick. But my remedy, my home, I have two go-tos when I get something like this. One is honey tea, basically. So I get a good tablespoon of, well, maybe not a tablespoon, but like a large spoon of honey. Hot water, turmeric, ginger, like a big lump of ginger, like a thumb-sized piece of ginger, and lemon, and lob it in to a teacup. And that, I feel, really sorts me out. And then the other trick that I have that I've told so many people about and actually works when you have a cold or a flu or you feel it coming on is raw garlic, which I know you love. But I was a bit sick going into Arosa, and so were a few of the crew because we were coming out of Christmas. And I was like, right, guys, this trick works. Start eating raw garlic today. And so many people come up to me. I was like, Jesus, that raw garlic thing is intense, but it actually works.
Yeah. So I would recommend, if your fella is ingesting raw garlic, to have him sleep elsewhere. Let's just put it that way. But the honey's working. And I think I said at the start of the season that you put honey on your toast in the morning. You put some on tallies this morning. And then the guy who ran the London Marathon, broke the world record in under 2 hours, came out and said that morning he had had honey on bread with a cup of tea.
Yeah, genius. Honey is so good for you. It's like, from a cold and flu point of view, it's antimicrobial, anti-inflammatory, and it's full of antioxidants. So it's like a good superfood.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Okay, so on to energy and my podcast with Kimberly Gallagher. This is an interesting conversation because I suppose you wouldn't be as into the kind of spiritual energy side of wellness as much as me. You are in touch with it, I would say, definitely. But I would be kind of more into it than you. So Kimberly Gallagher, she was on the podcast last week. She's a feng shui expert. She is a teacher at her core, which I think translates really well into her teaching the world now about feng shui. So she swapped the classroom for feng shui, which is all about energy in our home and how it flows. And so the concept behind feng shui is that if you live in a house where the energy isn't flowing freely, that it can get stuck or stagnant, and that affects your well-being. So I've spoken to loads of people who've listened to this podcast since Sunday, and they're kind of reiterating what Kimberly said, is that once you see it, you can't unsee it. And I've certainly looked at my house through a different lens since I recorded this podcast last week. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I've noticed you shuffling around, poking in various corners, trying to rearrange cupboards and all that. Trying. You're saying I'm not a super skeptic of this stuff. It just can get a bit too deep for me.
So she basically speaks about different corners of the house and they relate to different things. So, you know, you've got a relationships corner, you've got a meditation kind of calm corner, then you've got the financial corner, the health is all around the center of your house. And so I downloaded a compass on my phone And I thought that I had the whole house mapped out, but I was actually back to front. And I was a little bit raging that I had to ask you how to properly use a compass. But you showed me, and I think I'm all in the right positions now. But one of the things that I found really interesting that I found out, so in the kind of calm meditation learning corner of the house, which is in the northwest of the house, I had found a cluttery drawer and a picture frame with a pane of glass in it, and the glass was cracked. And that freaking blew my mind. So I was frantically making that corner calm. And we decluttered Pia's bedroom a little bit last weekend. And I have found she has been sleeping much better this week. Have you found that?
Yeah. No, she, her room is very calm now. And I even said, I said it to her. I was like, what do you think your bedroom now? And she's like, oh, I really like it.
Yeah. So what points, I suppose, kind of resonated with you on the podcast?
Well, I think, like, I agree with her on saying, like, you know, you can walk into a room and feel the energy. Like, mm. we've all been there when you've wandered into a room and it's felt like tense, or it's just felt not comfortable or not warm. And I don't mean physically warm. I just mean there's lack of warmth in the room. And that can be from people's energy, but it can also be from the energy of the room. So I totally agree and get that. Like, you can, everyone's been at a party or something where you walk in and it just feels off.
Yeah.
And it's maybe because the light in the room is really bright, or there's no music, or there's no ambience, or the way the room
is laid out,
it doesn't work for the flow of people coming in. And I think, having done so many events over the course of our lives together, like yeah. working at them, we kind of understand that and how, you know, that should work. But, you know, I've gone to things where I've gone, this doesn't work. It's all jumbled up and it's a mess, and people don't understand, or they don't know why it's not working.
We are so particular. And a lot of people, if you're on Team Good Glow and you're listening, you will notice that the vibe of the welcome party is so different to the vibe of the finishers party. All the finishers parties are very similar, and all the welcome parties are very similar. And that isn't a coincidence.
No, it's not. It's fully planned and mapped out to be that way. And, like, I feel this is what happens at our events. I'm the most hated man on the planet, because I wander into rooms and I'm like, sorry, you see the way you have this all laid out? See all those tables there? I need to move them out of there. I need to put this over there. And you just stand there. And, like, I am like Johnny Bad Guy.
Yeah.
As the manager of the bar is like giving me daggers. Mm-hmm. And then you come in and do your softly, softly and win them over again.
But yeah.
like, I'm the one that's moving all the stuff around and moving tables and causing chaos. But it's to make the whole flow and the energy in that space work.
And we always play the good cop, bad cop. I'm obviously always the good cop, but I'll come to one of our events and, you know, you send me to the DJ, you send me to do all the kind of softening of the people, and you obviously go in with the iron
fist. Then I step in with the hammer.
Okay, so what energy do you get from our house, or what kind of, when people come to our house? So we're, you know, just for anyone listening, we are in Dublin, but we're kind of on the outskirts a little bit. So we're surrounded by nature. So when people come to our house, say for example, Ryan Tuberty, when he came to our house and we had set up the house, you know, we made sure the garden was, the grass was cut and everything looked lovely and the windows were clean and there was lots of air flowing through the house that day, lots of candles lighting. What did you make of his reaction to our house?
Yeah, his reaction was similar enough to most people who come here for the first time. They're like, whoa, like a little bit. And they like, I didn't know this was here, kind of thing. And they're
yes.
not talking about our physical house, but they're talking about, we're very close to suburbia, but it feels full on like we're in the countryside here,
mm-hmm.
which I love. And everyone sort of feels, a few people have showed up and gone, God, it's so calm here.
Yeah.
Now, is our house calm all the time? Probably not inside, but it, I do feel like when it's, we're keeping on top of things and it's neat and tidy and we're lovely, it's a lovely place to be. And when people do come as visitors, it's, they all kind of have the same reaction and they all walk towards the back door and look out the back into the field out the back and our patio area, which is, you know, well stocked with plants and nice things.
So like before I even knew this was a feng shui thing, and you will obviously know that I do this, but every Monday I open all the windows to let the weekend energy out and the weekday energy in, because I feel like at the start of the week, like I need to level up. And one day I got trolled about that.
What, opening the windows?
Yeah. I think somebody basically meant to send their friend a message, but sent one to me and was like, she's lost it. She's opening all the windows in her house to let the, in inverted commas, good energy in. I was like I'm
please
not...
tell me you replied to her.
No, of course I didn't. But yeah, I remember being trolled for that. And I was like, God, what is the world coming to?
No, see, that's the type of stuff that I agree with. I agree with that. I agree with opening the windows and the doors, letting the air through, letting the energy out that's there and welcoming new energy in. I completely agree with all that stuff. And I like when you do that. And it does feel different in the house when you do it. Now, it can get obviously cold at times in the winter, but I totally get that. It's some of the other stuff that I get a little bit, come on now.
So remember the bit of the podcast where I said that I totally cleaned out my wardrobe, got rid of that brown jumper, got rid of my wig, you know, yeah. All of these things that I was hanging on to. I'm way less of a person that hangs on to things than you are. Like you have old spin merch, you know, like boxes of that your mom will give us, you know, that she doesn't want in her house anymore. You'll come home with a box in your boot, and in it is all sorts of shite that now I have to, thanks Hazel, live with. Yeah. Now, I don't blame your mum for wanting it out of your house, but where is all that stuff?
Yeah, but see, this is what I think is, that's because that stuff is nostalgic and it means something to me. And like, we're all made up of the footsteps we've walked on whatever journey we're on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I feel like it is good to hold on to that stuff. I'm not saying it should be out and about, but I do like looking back through things and keeping it. And
but when do you do that? You must be looking back through your old things when I go out. I've never seen you once look at something old.
It's not something like you do every month. It's like something you do once in a while. It's nice to be able to
once
show
in your life, maybe.
No, it's nice to be able to show Pia like stuff and like, look at this. And sure, there's a. So this is going way back. It's in the bottom drawer in our bedroom, and it is a birthday card that the lads gave me in Spain. I think I was like 24.
Oh my God.
And I've got ridiculously blonde, spiky hair and all that sort of stuff. Pia loves seeing that photo of me because she's never seen me with hair, and she never knew I had blonde, bleach blonde dyed hair at one point. So that's nice for me to have that. If I didn't have that photo and if I didn't have that card, then that memory is gone.
Yeah.
So I agree with taking things out of certain places. Like all that stuff is stored in somewhere we will never use. But like, it's not like in the kitchen cupboard and you have to look at it every day.
Yeah, but it's in our bedroom.
Yeah, but it's in our bedroom in a drawer that's like on the bottom shelf. It's in our bedroom in a, whatever that's called, a thing of a cabinet that's on the bottom and you can't see it.
Okay, I've just ChatGPT'd it. In feng shui, old photos and sentimental items are best kept in places that support reflection and stability without trapping you in the past. Good places, living room or hallway, study library or memory box storage area, west area of your home. Avoid having too many old photos in your bedroom, under your bed or in attics or basements.
Well, I don't have any old photos for one, and okay, fine, we'll move it out of the bedroom and we'll stick it in the west wing, which is actually in our house, the playroom.
Yeah, okay, so we'll just put all of the shite into the playroom. Yeah, look.
But sorry, can we go back to your wardrobe clean out thing?
Yeah.
You were a different person when you cleaned out that wardrobe, and I'm not saying I said it to you for ages, but like, I was like, this stuff needs to go. And you did clear it out. So I am a hoarder, I'll agree with you on that one, but I also do like an owl cleaning out of old shit and getting rid of it. And you got rid of so much stuff and you were actually a very different person after that.
Now, I spoke to Kimberly, you know, that I have a bit of PTSD at nighttime. I'm really sometimes I'm really sad that I found a lump in my breast in my bed in the middle of the night, because that is where I spend half of my life. And sometimes I just feel like I wish I'd found it somewhere else that didn't mean so much to me. And she had pointed out that, you know, Kimberly asked me, what do you sleep on top of? And in feng shui, you should sleep on top of things that are not emotionally charged. So if you have drawers under your bed to put in towels or sheets, old kind of tracksuits, soft things, things that don't have meaning attached to them. So you will find that a lot of people sleep on top of, you know, old letters from old boyfriends, old photos, old lanyards from workplaces, and things like that. And if you have that stuff under your bed, you should remove it. I sleep on top of all of your workout gear, which I would have thought was very emotionally charged.
Well, she said it was a massive amount of energy in that. But you could look at it like that, or you could look at it like all those race shirts are symbols of accomplishment and achievement and joy and everything that all the running events have brought to our lives over the last while. So you could look at it one way or you could look at it the other way. I get the whole function. We did a clear out of our bed, under our bed, ages ago when you were talking to someone else about feng shui and they said you can't have books under your bed.
Yes.
So you got rid of all the books that were under your side of the bed. Mm-hmm. And then on the other drawer, that's where my workout gear is. But so we're going to clear that out and what are we going to do with it?
We're just going to put it somewhere else. You know that drawer with all the shite in it from your past? We're going to clear out that drawer and we're going to put in all of...
It won't fit.
Well, what we need to do is where we keep the linen or where we keep the towels needs to be swapped out for your workout gear. I'll get you a little bucket that you can put in the press, put all of your stuff in there, and hopefully I can move on with my life.
You're going to need to get me 17 little buckets because of that much of the stuff. So then we've got 17 buckets in our press.
I think what you need to do is just take a step back. Don't worry about it. I'll find new places for your stuff and just let me do me and then you do you. Let's talk about the garden and how much you love spending time in the garden in the summer. Like, I feel like from this point onwards, you're gone from the house until September.
This point of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do like being out there, but it's not like a love affair with the garden. I just like it to look neat and tidy because I feel like that's the, like, I would have loved to find out her thing on garden feng shui, if that is even such a thing, because if I go to someone's house and their garden is real messy or like the grass is real long, it absolutely freaks me out.
I was speaking to somebody at Run Club and they invested in the machines that cut the grass for you. Would you ever get one of those?
No way.
Why?
Because it's constantly running around. You should put these wires in your grass that you can see. You can put them, you can plant them underneath, but where we are, our garden is too big and there's like the slopes and stuff in it. The thing, that yoke can't go down the slope and turn around and go back up. It can only go in like back gardens of like maybe suburban houses, and they're fine for those kind of things, but not where we live. Like, this place is wild. You have to get stuck in and tame the wildness. It's constant change going on where we are, and that needs to be constantly managed. Like, and you know, when people, like we said at the start, when people show up here, if the garden, especially in summer, if the garden is neat and tidy and the grass is cut and the flowers are blooming and hedges are trimmed and all that, the place looks amazing and it has a really nice energy. Like, everyone has said it.
Yeah. So it says here that your entrance should feel open, inviting and uncluttered. In feng shui, energy enters through openings and pathways. So blocked gates or messy entrances are thought to block opportunities and positivity.
Have you ever done any gardening? You should come out and do it. It's very therapeutic. Like, Dan Buettner talks about gardening being one of the longevity hacks.
Yeah.
And actually, one of the guys that came on our trip to Lake Garda.
Mike on a bike.
Yeah, Mike. Mike is an avid gardener, and when he first came to our run club, he absolutely blitzed the track. And I was like, oh my God, man, you are so fit. I was like, how are you so fit? And he's like, I'm out in the garden all the time.
Yeah. So what I do in the garden is I clean the windowsills and I'm our window cleaner. Mm-hmm. People wouldn't believe that.
That you're a window cleaner?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're obsessed with clean windows.
Yeah.
I don't know, is that gardening though? Like, why don't you ever come out and get your nails dirty and get stuck in?
Well, I was very involved in the vegetable patches, but what really annoyed me about the vegetable patches, and it is nature, so I obviously should embrace it, but was the rabbits eating all of the stuff. And then, like, I'd like a little vegetable patch that's covered, or like a little greenhouse that we, you know, that
you can, like, go in and out of, and the animals can't get into it.
Do you think we should create something like that?
I don't know about greenhouses now.
Why?
Because you can only grow certain, you're only supposed to grow certain things in them. Like, you can't grow potatoes in a greenhouse. Well, maybe you can, but I don't think they're supposed to be grown in a greenhouse. Like, there's rabbits on every farm, and there's, you know.
Yeah.
You just got to wash the stuff.
So we last week planted green beans and tomatoes. So for anybody listening, is it a good time now to start planting stuff, or are we a bit late?
No, this is the time. We're a tiny bit late, but if we get the green beans, we're going to do green beans, potatoes. Green beans are real easy to grow. You grow them in your house at the start, and then you put them outside for a few days, take them back in, put them outside, take them back in, and then eventually they're sort of acclimatized like anything needs to be, and then you go put them in your patch. And they grow like rockets, and then they just keep producing. So and they're really good for you. So that's why we have them. And then anything else we can do is in the soil. So we could do potatoes, carrots, parsnips.
I have to say, when we grew potatoes, it wasn't last year, it was the year before. They were the nicest potatoes I have ever tasted in my life. So for anyone listening and they're into kind of growing their own stuff, you can go down to a local garden center this weekend. You don't need a huge garden. You can just have a little patch.
No, my mum grows potatoes in an IKEA bag. You know those big blue IKEA bags? Fills them up with soil. And then you put your seed potato in. And then when you start to see little green shoots popping out, you cover it up with a bit of soil. And then every time you see the green shoot and the leaves, you keep covering it until the leaves get really big and you can't cover them anymore. And then your potatoes are growing underneath the soil. And then if you want new potatoes, you just yank them out early. Or if you want them to become big potatoes, you leave them.
Yeah. And they're so nice. And it's just something so wholesome about growing your own food. Back to the Blue Zones and Dan Buettner and the way he lives his life. I actually saw an interview with Dan Buettner last week, and he was saying he has minestrone soup for his breakfast every morning, with beans and vegetables. And I just love it would be my dream to meet Dan Buettner.
And Oprah,
like,
in the same room. What about that?
I also, though, said to Claire Solon yesterday, because we got our Oprah tickets, and I said to her, and I don't know if this is like a protection thing within me, but I was like, I don't even know if I want to meet Oprah, because, you know, when they say, like, don't meet your heroes, like, I said to Claire, I'm so happy for Oprah to exist in a parallel universe to my life and just be somebody who I look up to, adore, watch, consume. And maybe that's a little bit, I'm protecting myself from being let down if I don't meet her in September or don't get an opportunity to see her in real life. But I will, of course, when I go to the show, but I mean, you know, face to face. But yeah, Dan Buettner, Oprah, they're just up there for me as people who I am so inspired by every single day.
I feel like Oprah, though, wouldn't be the person that would let you down, you know, that kind of way. I feel like Oprah is very genuine. And she wouldn't be, like, I feel like that phrase, never meet your heroes or anything, maybe more applies to like sports stars or people like that. But people in this space, they're in it for a reason, is because that is them. They're not like snake oil salesmen like Dan Buettner would say.
Yeah, I even feel emotional like talking about it. Like, Oprah's book, What I Know For Sure, opened up a different world to me. And I would love the opportunity to tell her that. But then I wonder how many people all over the world tell her that every single day, you know?
I'm going to start an online petition to get Oprah loads of signatures, and then we'll present it to Oprah for you to interview her.
Where there's a will, there's a way. So yeah, listen to the Kimberly Gallagher podcast. Let us know if it makes you look at your house in a different way. Really liked the piece on the garden and what it can bring to your life. And I presume if people want to learn how to plant their own fruit and veg and stuff, they can just look at YouTube videos, right? Where did you learn how to do it?
Probably from my mom. But yeah, YouTube or Instagram. Great.
Would you become, if you had to be any type of influencer, whether it was like fitness, gardening, cooking, what would you pick?
It wouldn't be fitness, I don't think. Fitness in general, like, maybe gardening, or maybe like landscape gardening. I feel like I'm not that good at it, though.
I think
I just like doing it.
I think you're brilliant at it. And I'm happy when you're in the garden, because not only am I happy for you that you're doing your happy thing, but it gives us a little bit of space sometimes, and you're off doing your thing and I get to do my thing.
Great. I'm off to cut the grass.
Yeah, and I'm off to clean out your drawers. But listen, thank you so much for tuning in. This is the last of the bonus episodes from this season of The Good Glow. I've thoroughly enjoyed The Good Glow this season. Thank you so much also for all the feedback on the bonus episodes. I think people have we didn't really overthink this either. I just said it to you one day. Did I say it to you? I definitely said it to you. Will you do these bonus episodes with me? And I've really enjoyed.
I love the way you're claiming that idea.
Did you suggest it?
Dave is witness to that.
Okay. Okay, great idea, Jamie.
Oh, she's giving me something. I know, you do give me a lot.
Okay, so thank you so much for tuning in. As I said, we're over to Soul Sisters now, but always open to your DMs and your feedback and your emails. And a massive, massive thank you to Boyne Valley Honey for supporting The Good Glow this season. I love working with them. I love their team. I love what they do. I love what they believe in. So it's been an absolute privilege for me, and I'm very, very grateful to them. So thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.